Good day, and welcome to the TGS Q2 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, and welcome to the TGS second quarter 2014 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me on the call today is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our second quarter earnings release and held a presentation of the results. A replay of that presentation is available on our website. Hope that you've had an opportunity to view this, and we'll now give just a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. In the second quarter of 2014, TGS had total net revenues of $205 million compared to $210 million in the same period one year ago. Q2 net late sales were $137 million, down 12% from Q2 of 2013, whereas net pre-funding revenues of $60 million were up 39% from Q2 2013. Pre-funding represented 52% of the company's $114 million operational multi-client investments during the quarter. Proprietary revenues of $8 million were below the $12 million recognized in Q3 2013. In the first half of last year, we performed a proprietary 2D acquisition project, leading to the unusually high proprietary revenue levels during that period in 2013. The proprietary revenues that we are announcing today are more in line with what's typical with TGS. Our resulting operating profit was $82 million, down from $98 million one year ago, and represents 40% of net revenues. Cash flow from operations was $66 million compared to $34 million in Q2 of 2013. After payment of our dividend in June, our closing cash position was $208 million at the end of the quarter. Earnings per share were 59 cents per share compared to 66 cents per share in Q2 of 2013. TGS had four 3D vessels and one 2D vessel operating under its control during the quarter. TGS was also a participant in one 2D marine joint venture project, one CSEM joint venture project, and one high-resolution P-cable marine joint venture project. In addition, one land crew was operated under TGS's control in Q2. It was quite an active quarter in terms of acquisition activity. In North America, TGS completed the acquisition of the 6,700 square kilometer Francisco 3D survey in the central Gulf of Mexico, and in partnership with PGS, commenced acquisition of a 30,000 kilometer 2D survey off the coast of Newfoundland Labrador, a region that's recently been open to the industry for tendering. In the onshore, TGS completed recording of the 440 square kilometer Rush Creek 3D survey in the Granite Wash Play on the Texas-Oklahoma border. TGS also commenced permitting and surveying in preparation to start recording two new Utica Shale plays in eastern Ohio. TGS has been very busy in the Barents Sea during Q2 with a combination of 2D, 3D, P-cable, control source electromagnetics, and reprocessing projects. Despite the delayed announcement of the blocks for the Norwegian 23rd license round, we see high customer interest in the nominated areas, including the Hoop area, where we have been focusing much of our recent data acquisition. We believe that the addition of new complementary data products to our library, such as high-resolution P-cable and CSEM, is of great value to our customers in this region. Also in Q2, TGS completed acquisition of the 8,300 square kilometer Nereides survey in the Great Australian Bight south of Australia. We're pleased to announce this morning that TGS has won pre-funding commitments for the Nereides Season 2 project. At 13,000 square kilometers, this will be the largest 3D survey TGS has acquired to date in the Asia-Pacific region. Acquisition will commence in either Q4 2014 or Q1 2015. In addition, TGS has today announced new surveys in the west of Shetlands and offshore northwest New Zealand. Our backlog continues to be strong, and at the end of Q2, we had future customer commitments of $224 million, which is 21% higher than one year ago, and a 5% increase from last quarter. Based upon the new customer commitments announced this morning, we expect the backlog to increase further in Q3. TGS has secured a significant amount of necessary capacity to execute on its investment plan in 2014. At this time, the company expects adequate, available additional land and marine crew capacity in the market to execute on its investment plans. And finally, we confirm that our full-year guidance remains unchanged, with multi-client library investments of $390 to $460 million, average pre-funding in the range of 45 to 55% of investments, an average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 40 to 46% of net revenues in the range of $870 to $950 million, of which approximately 5% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. Jillian, I'll turn the call over to you right now to cue the questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Rob Pullen from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions from myself. So first of all, some of your competitors are clearly struggling with pre-funding on some of their larger surveys. Do you see any of that on the surveys you have? And if not, perhaps it's worth putting some detail around why you're particularly different. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Rob. I think in the market that we're in right now, I think, and this has been true probably for the last 12 months, last three or four quarters certainly, I think we've seen a trend where, you know, our conversations with our customers are in regards to obtaining pre-funding are certainly longer in duration. So, you know, and I believe this to be, an impact of oil company focus on investments that will yield more immediate cash flow rather than, investing more and more in exploration. So what I think we've seen in the market that we're in right now is certainly where the E&P growth that we might be seeing this year, I think, where that growth is more on the P side rather than the E side. And, of course, seismic data tends to be a tool that is traditionally used more on the E side. I think in regards to TGS, I can't speak for our competitors, of course, but I think in regards to TGS, those pre-funding discussions are longer in duration and perhaps a little bit more challenging. But I think as evidenced by these projects we've announced this morning and in the backlog that we've reported, I think we have been successful at getting customers interested in our ideas, and I think it's a tribute to our focus as a pure multi-client company and the geologic knowledge we have as well, because our customers like the ideas we have.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And sorry, maybe just two follow-up questions, if I may, to that. The first one being, some of the vessel owners are, I think, now openly and candidly talking about further downwards pressure on pricing into year-end and through the winter season. Traditionally, that allows you guys to get more bang for your buck. Within that, could we expect TGS to, shall we say, continue the same dollar spend but get more acreage shot, or perhaps keep acreage flat and spend less dollars? That's the first follow-up question. And then the second one, and it's a question I'm asking pretty much all service companies at the moment, is we've obviously become very used to very strong growth year after year. But given what you see now, I mean, is earnings and revenue growth a foregone conclusion for 2015, or is it somewhat in the balance? Thank you.
Yeah, I think I would answer both of those questions. For TGS, is we're pretty comfortable with our guidance that we started with early in the year. I think we see we are seeing, and we predicted a day rate trend that would be perhaps softer this year than in 2013. We predicted that early in the year, and I think we've certainly seen that pan out as we've gone out to charter vessel time. And we'll look, we'll continue to look for opportunities to be able to acquire more data, obviously, for the same dollar spend. So I don't think, I guess I would answer your first question is we are we're on track with our investments as per guidance. And I think, you always have some projects drop off the list that you start the year with, and you always have some come on. And I think we continue to see attractive opportunities that our project developers are bringing to us that maybe we didn't even recognize early in the year, and we'll look to take advantage of opportunities to acquire those projects where it makes sense. I think we believe again on your second question, we continue to believe in our guidance offered early in the year. Which is slight growth from 2013. I think we, in a flat, as I alluded to before, we think the seismic spending market in 2014 is going to be somewhat flattish from 2013. So one might interpret that slight revenue growth for TGS would be gaining market share in the multi-client market, particularly when I think we've probably heard some of our competition talk about dialing back a little bit on their multi-client investment. I think we're pretty optimistic, for the rest of the year at achieving that guidance, and that we're in a market that can help that will allow us to deliver that.
Okay. And sorry, apologies to do this, but maybe one more question. I mean, you talk about oil companies focusing on development and production, obviously, because that generates cash flow for them closer. Things move in cycles. I mean, when do you expect that to, shall we say, the exploration focus to be reinvigorated?
Well, I think you're 100% correct that things move in cycles, and I think whatever cycle you're in at the time is temporary in nature. and so I think it's only a matter of time before oil companies will start getting pressured to replace the reserves that they're producing through exploration. And in fact, you can look at our late sales, which have been pretty darn good over the past three quarters, and as evidence that oil companies aren't totally pulling away from exploration. There are oil companies that are interested in the basins in which we focus, and they're continuing to license data from us. But I think we'll see a trend back to more exploration spending. I'm not going to make a call on when that trend's going to be. I think most people would probably not make that prediction because it's a very hard thing to predict. But it'll turn around.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
We will now take our next question from Christopher Malachin from SB1. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. First question on the vessel rates and availability. You previously said that, and repeated that for several quarters, that there is enough vessels available to execute your plan. This morning you also said that rates for this year were expected to be 10 to 15% lower versus last year. Is that the same assumption that you had 3 months ago, or have you seen prices dropping off lately, which made this comment of 10 to 15% rate decline this year versus last year?
Yeah, I think we have seen a bit of evidence in the last couple of months, Christopher, of rates softening up a bit more than what we had expected early in the year. I can't recall what we communicated early in the year. I think we expected rates to decline somewhere around 5 to 10%, I think is what we probably communicated, and I think it's probably increased a little bit more over the past couple of months as we've been in negotiations on new vessel time. There's no problem in terms of availability. There's really not any issue in terms of gaining vessel access right now, certainly as we go into the latter part of the third quarter and the fourth quarter. I think you're going to see the normal seasonality of vessels looking for homes as they come out of Northwest Europe. I think we're seeing the impact of that being borne out in day rates that were being quoted right now.
Okay, switching gear a bit here. In terms of the multi-client sales, so in first half this year, you're basically, you know, slightly up versus last year, up 1%, but your competitors are experiencing double-digit declines in their multi-client sales, you know, so you're clearly gaining market share, at least in the first half. Could you give a bit of flavor of why you think that's the case, and is it a fair assumption that in a softening market, which we experience currently, that you could easily get market share just based on the fact that there's a risk that your competitors are shooting poor multi-client projects to keep the vessels busy?
Well, I, you know, I obviously can't speak directly to the motivation of our competitors on their multi-client plans. I guess I would point to each multi-client data library, because of the nature of the multi-client business, every multi-client data library is going to be very different than the next, and location makes a big difference in our business of that data library. Timing makes a big difference, and the technology and the timing of the technology that you're utilizing makes a big difference. I just think with our you know TGS's focus that we have purely on this business, you know our focus allows us or motivates us, or our driver, I guess I should say, to our business is, you know, generating projects, executing projects that deliver a high rate of return to our investors. Our business is not to keep a boat busy, and I think there's a fundamental difference in thinking there, because when you consider, you know, our big competitors are also vessel owners, and so I think there tends to be perhaps a different motivation for acquiring multi-client if you have to keep you know, a fleet utilized. We, you know, unless we can convince ourselves that we're not going to get an adequate rate of return on a project, we simply won't invest in it. We don't have to keep a fleet utilized. So, I think probably, Christopher, what, and I think you're alluding to this, but I think there's just a difference in philosophy, the way we do our business as the largest multi-client library in the, you know, multi-client company in the business right now. It's a different way we do our business than our competitors, which they tend to, their cultures tend to be more, you know, vessel service companies, vessel operators.
I know you haven't guided for 2015 yet, but some of your competitors have at least indicated that multi-client projects would decline quite a bit in 2015 due to high investments this year. Would you expect that the competitive landscape you're facing in the multi-client market would actually ease off a bit next year versus this year?
If what you're hearing from the other players is correct, then yes, I would expect that. We should see, I would expect to see less competition for multi-client pre-funding out there, certainly.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Caroline Hickson from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. I've got a few questions. The first is on your pre-funding guidance. So you've averaged 55% for the first part of this year, yet you're retaining the guidance of, you know, 45 to 55%. Should we take this to mean that pre-funding is going to trend lower in the second half? And equally, can you give any more guidance around your investment level for the year? I know you have given a range, but it's quite a wide range, and just wondered if you could give us a bit more clarity around that.
I'm going to turn that over to Christian.
So I'll start with your question on pre-funding. You're right, we have 55% year-to-date, but keep in mind that 55% is partly driven by this large Neurisis survey that we did in Australia in the first half. And it's fair to say that carries a very high pre-funding because the block has already been awarded to one oil company. And I think you can easily find out who that oil company is. So obviously that's a key driver to our pre-funding in the first half of the year. if you look into Q3 and Q4, we're not prepared to give you a guidance on how pre-funding will be, but I think you can see from the survey, from the vessel schedule in Q3, that there is a higher composition of 2D work, and usually you will see lower pre-funding on 2D than you see on the large 3D campaign. And then if you look into 2015, we just announced the large survey this morning, and that's in the Nereides too, and I think you can make the same assumption that that's going to be a heavily pre-funded survey. That will certainly have a positive impact on the pre-funding percentage.
Okay, thanks. And in terms of your investments going into the latter part of the year, you know, I take your point about there being good vessel availability, but it seems like the lack of pre-funding may mean that, you know, your investments come in at the lower end of guidance, for example. Can you just give any more clarity around, you know, what we're likely to see in investments towards the end of the year?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you a number on that, but what I can say is that most of our investments for Q3 are already sanctioned, so you can see that from the vessel schedule, so you can make a fairly good estimate on how the investments are going to be in Q3. With regards to Q4, I can say that we're still working on a lot of exciting opportunities that may show up in the vessel schedule next quarter. So certainly we still think and believe that we can have additional investments in Q4 to fill up the vessel schedule. And as Robert said initially, we're quite confident in our investment guidance. You may argue it's a wide range, but we want to have some flexibility. It could be that we come up with large projects that take us all the way to the upper end of the range, and it could be that we end up lower in the range, but we're quite comfortable with the investment range as it is right now.
Okay, and can you give us an idea of the cost of the seafloor sampling and electromagnetic surveys versus, you know, a regular 2D or 3D vessel?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the seafloor sampling is certainly a minuscule relative to a seismic survey. It's just a single boat. There's not any really kind of any specialized equipment other than a coring device off the back, so it's very... It's quite a bit cheaper than a seismic survey, 2D and 3D. I think on an EM survey, it's pretty close in terms of on a per square kilometer basis. It's fairly close to a sort of a low end 3D survey if you calculate it on a per square kilometer basis. So you might want to think of it that way.
Okay, thanks. And just two more quick ones from me. The Pelagos Nalia that you referred to today in west of Shetland, I don't think you gave a start date. And just finally, I guess the other question would be the buyback. It's been fairly muted so far. Is that just a reflection of your having to pay the dividend in 2Q, and again, we'll expect to see that increase towards the end of the year?
So the Pelagos vessel started, you can go to the vessel schedule chart, and it started in mid-June on the Brendan Basin project, and we've just recently, last week, went to this new project called Erlen West, and it should wrap up about mid-August.
Okay, thanks. I wasn't sure if that was the one you're referring to. And just the buyback?
Yeah. The buyback, so we have to date bought back $3.5 million out of the $30 million that we announced in February, that the board announced. So it's certainly the board's intention to have management buy back, you know, that $30 million amount this calendar year. And certainly, I'm sure you've seen share price trends in our industry, and one could probably interpret this as probably not a bad time to be buying back shares. You could probably expect us to look at probably upping our rate of share buybacks, certainly in Q3 and Q4, to hit that $30 million number by the end of the year.
Okay, thanks. That's all from me.
We will now take our next question from Rob Pollan from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, gentlemen, sorry. In amongst all the questions I asked, there was one I didn't, and that was regarding Mexico and when you expect a significant contribution from Mexican demand for seismic data, whether it be 2D or 3D. Is that likely to be this year or next year, or is it, you know, maybe even only 2016 when it picks up? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, things are moving. The pace of the reform in Mexico is moving at what the Mexican government originally communicated that they expected, which is very positive, right? And we actually expect the final laws which govern both, really govern all exploration activity, including geoscience, G&G data acquisition. We expect all those laws to be passed in early August, so in the next few weeks, which is what's been expected since reform has taken place at the end of last year. So it'll take a while, I think, for the regulator to start working through permit applications. You could probably assume that there are a number of seismic companies that are looking to do work in Mexico, which is a huge basin and which is an area which is relatively data poor. We obviously plan to do something there. We have a frame agreement with Seabird, the largest 2D vessel provider, to provide us vessel capacity to do our own work in Mexico. We announced that frame agreement, I guess, early in Q2. I think you'll certainly see seismic data, multi-client seismic data acquired in 2015. I think that's a pretty safe bet. My guess would be early 2015. We'd certainly love to get started in Q4 2014, and we would look to try to do that. But I think it's probably more likely early part of 2015 before you start seeing multi-client seismic data acquired down there.
Okay, very kind. Thank you.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn you back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Julian. Appreciate your time today. Thanks for attending the conference call. We look forward to talking with you at the end of October, announcing our third quarter results. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.